The Sober Sojourns 12 Steps and Passport Stamps podcast features recovered men and women who are practicing members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous or any 12-step program. We are friends gathered to discuss our experience in recovery. The discussions in this podcast represent our own individual experiences and opinions as of today. You can reach us at our email address, which is sobersojournspodcast@gmail.com, or on Instagram at oyveaa and such a Sally. We would love to hear from you. Our aim is to try to be helpful by sharing the realities of our recovery, how we have recovered and are trudging the road of happy destiny wherever we go.
Pirate Mike and Oy Vey AA presents the Sober Sojourns 12 Steps and Passport Stamps podcast.
So how's that for you?
Makes me think maybe I should go to OA. It's so good.
Yeah. I have a long history with eating my feelings too. I think it's only recently that I stopped and questioned, like, oh, maybe that's something I have to look into. No.
Is this an Oreo ASMR episode?
It very well could be. If the mood strikes. But
listen, I needed an Oreo. It's fine.
It's in the book. Stash of chocolate, right? I have such feelings about that because I think it helps. I just have seen too many people, like, they treat it like the equivalent of like insulin for your sobriety. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
can we not make Oreo cookies or chocolate or higher power? It'll do in a pinch, probably.
It will do in a pinch, but I've certainly tried. I remember the first year I had, like, well, my first year was very much, I wasn't like, it was fucking miserable, which I think I've established here on this platform, but I remember trying foods, and it like became a joke with my friends. I'm like, I'm gonna try this food. Maybe this will help my like hole in my soul or whatever.
Did it help?
Yeah. For like the 5 minutes I was eating it, yeah.
Well, then that's all that matters. That gets us to the next moment, right?
Yes. Right now, currently. Again, I don't know what this would be released, but I have a podcast greater than yourself shaped hole. Are you feeling this?
Not since we started doing it.
Oh, man. You're being very sweet, and yet at the same time, I mean.
It wasn't a backhanded compliment. Yeah, no, not at all. You know, the benefit of this, right, is instead of having like the imaginary dialogue between me and whoever I'm listening to on the podcast, as if they can hear, right, like me shouting at the TV, and I get a real time response with a friend.
Yeah, I do miss the podcast though.
Yeah. Well, which is why, like, so in moments like today, right? So before we hit record, we were having, you know, a good conversation about traveling, fear and faith, and you know how that kind of carries with us through these experiences. And when you were sharing about some of your experiences, I remember the uncertainty that I faced, not, you know, traveling as extensively or as frequently as yourself, but even just being based in a different place for a long time. When you're going through some shit, and then when you're going through some shit in sobriety or trying to stay sober, it can be a different challenge, you know?
I love that you're like disclosing that some of our best conversations are happening when we don't hit record.
This is unfortunate.
And how, like, unprepared I am today, or in general. But I mean, you're 100% right. I feel like this whole traveling thing has been an exercise in fear. I mean, maybe that's just life, right? And sobriety, because we're such animals. You know, I feel like as human beings, when it comes to fear, like that kind of back, how do you say it in English, Pirate Mike? Hindbrain? There's like a saying for it, like the...
Oh, like in the back of our...
Yeah, like
back
the
of our
animal
minds or
brain.
something. Oh, yeah, okay. I get it. I like that
Yeah.
better. Animal brain.
It's so like, because we're humans, but yet at the same time, like, I feel like we have this thing. Us alcoholics... No, just in general, I feel like humans are like, we're intelligent enough that we fear fear. Like we think about the fear and that scares us, or like we have like complex thoughts about just like ideas. And that's something I don't think animals have that. But yeah, and I think that's a big part, because it's always a story. Right, it's always a narrative that's driven by some sort of self centered fear, or some self reliant thing, and I don't know. I could go on and on about like how Eve fucked us up by eating the apple, but it's all a tale of what wisdom is. But interesting to me that you say like you mentioned how not being at home is like something that's like creates maybe, I don't know how you said, like less confidence, or it like it's scary. I'd love to hear more about it, because I feel like I have the opposite experience with my sobriety.
I think a lot of it had to do with resources that I could turn to, you know, rather easily. So for me, you know, growing up in my specific third world country experience, you know, there are a lot of things that are not as readily available, right, as what I found when I was in the US. But I also felt as if I could go home to hide out for a while, you know, and before I got sober, that's what I did, because then things would just be taken care of for me. You know, in school, whenever there was like a Christmas break or like summer break, and this was long before I got sober, being able to come home, I didn't really have to spend for anything except for the amount of alcohol that I was drinking, right? And so that was like an everyday thing. That was my vacation, just like getting drunk every day. And even when you talk about fear, you know, that is a very big reason for why I continued to drink, and how that progressed, is because I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to face the fear or the pain. I didn't know how to, but getting drunk seemed to help either like move me through it or make me feel stronger than it. And it was my coping mechanism. You know, that's how it worked for a really long time. Somebody was saying this in a meeting yesterday about like how they got into the rooms. They were just sharing their story. It made me think about that. Alcohol worked for a really long time. I can't even really tell you, for me personally, like when it stopped working, because I just couldn't stop. You know, I think there was a part of me, maybe that animal brain, that continued to justify it. And it probably has something to do with how I can gaslight myself, right, into thinking that my alcoholic life is the only normal life. And so I'll just like plow through it. But whether or not it's an act, like it comes out of me lying to myself, the fact remains that it very much felt like the only solution that I had to life. And it wasn't until I was forced, you know, to live without it, and people sent me to meetings and shit like that, that I had to face the fear of what life would be like without having to drink. My point being, when that person shared their story, I was like, I don't think I had a moment until it was forcibly taken from me, where I thought, this isn't working anymore, I should just stop.
Oh man. First of all, I feel like I'm having like a sneak peek into the Pirate Mike qualifying conversation. I love it. I'm all in for it.
Yeah.
Oh man. No, I just feel like I had such a different experience because I knew that this wasn't working anymore. Like I had two very distinctive moments in my, two stints of like sobriety before it stuck and stay, before I put the plug in the jug and I said it. Sorry, God, I can't not do it. That I had this moment of like, oh, what are you doing? What the fuck? Like, this is not, I can't do this anymore. You know, this is not working for me anymore. And it was heartbreaking. If this is like my solution, so called, and it's not working for me anymore, then what the fuck do I do? And to me, the whole thing is the exact opposite. Like I don't, well, because also when I started traveling, I was already sober. So my like experiences drinking and using was at home. So I don't, to me, it symbolizes something a little different, you know? Which is why I have been
That's
doing geographics for the last, no, I'm kidding. I hope that's not what's implied. But yeah.
like, did you just have a moment? Did you
Yeah,
just have a
maybe I'm
moment of
just
clarity?
realizing something. Fuck. No, I know I'll be fine if I go back home, but it did. I think there's two things. There's the fear of going back home, which is a lot of it is just like, I don't want to, you know, I'm happy with my life abroad. I feel satisfied. I feel comfortable. I feel like it just works better for me. I don't feel like I have prospects there and all that. And then there's the other part, which is the fearful part of like, oh, like, you know, you're gonna be miserable and die, you know, where my, thought patterns or like my fearful narratives take me whenever I do a fucking 10 step and I look at it. But I also know that's not real. Is this a fear episode?
It might be. And actually, you hit upon
Yalla,
something.
let's go. Fuck yeah.
There's like a, you mentioned home, right? And so I separated it. So those to me were two different things because for most of the time that I was living abroad, I also did not want to go home, quote unquote, for good. I feared that. You know, I didn't think that, I didn't
Oh
think that
my
there
God,
were prospects,
interesting.
which is not real, right? Like there were prospects, they just were not the prospects that I wanted. I knew I was convinced that I wouldn't be able to live the same kind of life independently that I would be able to live in the States and the same quality of life, right? So all of that day-to-day adulting shit, I was not interested in doing any of that back home in the Philippines. But I was open to every time I felt like life was getting too difficult, or I was fucking up, then I could go home for short stays and hide out and just take advantage of somebody,
Oh,
like a
yeah.
literal mother mothering me, right? And then, you know, maybe spend some time in the family farm or just stay at home and just not see anyone or see people, just not have to do anything until I'm ready to like get out again. What? Yeah, so
Sorry,
that
I just like
was
want to visit your fucking family farm now. It's all I'm gonna think about for the
the
rest.
family
I want to go
farm.
to the Pirate Mike family farm.
It's like a small field with sugar cane. It's really not that, but you know, it's provincial and it's, you can,
Sorry, I'm derailing.
no, it's good. Yeah. We'll do family farm episode.
Pirate Mike's family farm episode.
Is
No, sorry,
real life.
please continue because this is so interesting to me.
Yeah. So it's
Yeah, yeah,
geographics,
yeah.
I think, in a different way. I always like the idea of, yeah, we talked about this before. Like I couldn't wait to get out. I didn't want to. The idea of roots was really, and setting down roots was so unappealing to me for a long time. I loved the idea of living out of a suitcase, apartments, not houses. You know, I feared that, I think, or at least I didn't. Yeah, no, I feared it. I was like, did I just not like it? No, I was running away from the idea because it would. I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's probably a fear about getting tied down to something. Because if I stop moving, I'm vulnerable. I don't want to like get caught in that. There's probably like one core idea that gets dressed up into all these different things, you know? And
I
you
feel
talk
like we're
about
recording a
traveling.
therapy session.
This is not affiliated with any 12-step program. We're going deep into psyche. But even my love for airports and travel, we talked about that, different experiences, right? What I loved about airports is it started with experiences of traveling with my family and going to places, early morning flights where I could sit in front of this window in the airport and just see the sun come up and be around all these people that were coming and going, and everything was connected. You said something when we were talking about airports about how it's this place where time doesn't exist. And I fucking love that. I love that for so long.
I
And
fucking hate airports. Sorry.
you hate airports. When I could, when I, and when I could take, when I could take my drinking to an airport,
Oh, yeah.
then it was on. You know, I remember one particular work trip after doing like a whirlwind couple of days there. You know, I roll into the airport with my coworker still hungover from the night before. And the first thing that I wanted to do at like 6 in the morning was get some Guinness, and I knew I could.
Like me walking through airports now, I can like, not to get self-righteous, but I'm like, I could definitely spot the people who are having a beer at 6 in the morning. I'm like, are you in the right time zone? What's your time zone in your head right now?
What are
I'd
you
love to
talking
know.
about? We can all maintain. You don't know us.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, not to like generalize and like project my experience, but dude, airports, like I get like just thinking about it. We'll get into it. I mean, it's so interesting what you mentioned. Like, I feel like I kind of want to acknowledge it. I just appreciate it. I don't know if I have a lot to add to it. I'm delirious. I'm heavily medicated during this episode. Just it's important for me.
The medication episode too.
I'm okay. I'm not. I'm following doctor's instructions. No, it's so funny. You know, why not? Let's talk about airports. But I think what's important for me to kind of touch on before that is the travel experience, right? Because I think that for me, there's again, I traveled for a long time, and it kind of became a part of me and my identity and who I am. And certainly now that I'm gonna travel a little bit again soon, because apparently we don't have enough content for this.
You're gonna do the field research.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some field research. It almost made me feel like as I was dusting off my backpack and just seeing if it's moldy, as you do when you live in the tropics. I'm like,
Right,
oh, fuck.
right.
Like, it's a return to self for me. There was a big part of for me traveling, and I think that's a difference a little bit between like geographics. When I traveled, I was, yes, I think I did search for something, and I did end up finding, this wonderful woman who took me through the steps. And then I was able to, recover from alcoholism. But it's just, sorry, it's the way I said it. It's the way I said it. Okay, yeah.
Well, you know, with the
I
dance,
won't say it again.
yeah.
Yeah, I did it. It's fine. No one will see this. But it was just that. It wasn't, I don't think that my travels, looking back at the extensive amount of time that I did it, with no pauses, was ever about running away from anything. Even though, as I'm hearing you, I'm like, interesting. Maybe I should look into this, some of these things. But I think that also a big part of my fear of going back home right now is just like my physical well-being, which is something I've always normalized living inside that like circle of violence. But only when I stepped out, I was able to be like, oh, this isn't normal. And is this the life I want for myself and for the life I want to build, my future family, all of that, with a husband that doesn't exist.
I'm seeing the picture now.
Fine. We have a PO box for green card submissions.
We do. We set it up
Yeah.
after episode two.
But yeah, that's what traveling was, and I think a part of the being uncomfortable doing it, and you know, I would go into the city, I wouldn't know anyone, I was fearful and terrified and alone and sick and all of that. Like, it brought me into myself, into my higher power, into what it could do for me. Even though I have really short-term memory, I believe it's a result of continuous drug use. About what my higher power could do for me, it's still very much alive within me. You know, that girl that did that and was able to reach out and get the power to do that. Yeah, but dude, fuck airports, honestly. What a shit. I wish I could live in the 60s where it's like luxurious and we can like get drunk off on bourbon and like smoke cigarettes on the plane, right? Wouldn't that be fun?
There's probably a part of me that like make believes that I'm still kind of there every time I go into an airport. So I'm completely blind to the reality. It's fine. There are probably still some areas of my life where I'm still in full flight from reality. And if airports is one of them, then so be it.
Yeah,
It's my
dude. Fuck
happy
yeah. But
place.
honestly, airport, it's so not. Oh my God, you're saying it. I'm like, it's interesting how it is for you. To me, it's like, because again, I did. When I go to an airport, I go to a war zone. I'm like, okay, I have an airport outfit. It's always the same like pair of like pants and the same like tank top. I like pull my hair up. I have my backpack. I'm like, okay. We can do this thing. We're gonna do it. We're gonna go through security. I'm like so zoned in, like I know what I'm doing. Because I just like, ugh, again, such a lawless land, and such a, I don't know. Once you do it a lot consecutively, you get so fatigued. I'm like, yes, oh great, another, yeah, let me pull up my fucking laptop out of the fucking thing. And it's a privilege, I'm talking about it like I'm insane, you know. I need to, it's an all, like we're flying in the air and I'm like, oh, the flight's delayed, great, because you're with a backpack and you're tired and I'm the worst fucking traveler in the world, which is hilarious.
The fatigue, I mean, I wonder, we'll see. Maybe the fatigue has something. That's what I'm thinking about. Like the fatigue has something to do with it, because I haven't gone to the point yet where I've traveled so much that I'm tired of it. That hasn't been part of my experience. And as enthusiastic as I am about it, it's the same, right? Like I do kind of approach it. There's so much anxiety about getting to the certain point. At this time, being early enough, getting through things, and yet, as I'm going through all of this, like this battle zone, I fucking love every moment of it. I really do. I don't know. There's something about it that just makes me so happy. I think it's just
Oh,
the it's
man.
the act. It's probably still something about the experience of like coming and going somewhere else.
Oh, I mean, same. I'm don't get me wrong, I love traveling. I suck at it. Like that's the weird thing about it, but it's I don't know. I keep saying that, like, also you and I, and we mentioned this, are in very different places in terms of our like where we are at in life. I think I've insulted you when I implied that you're a millennial and you took it to heart. Do you remember that?
No,
Do you
there's
wanna
no offense.
share why I thought you were a millennial? Do you remember why?
I don't remember. No, actually, I don't.
Because you used Reddit, and I feel like
Oh, that's so fucking. And that's, you know what? And the thing is, that was just even my use of Reddit was kind of like, it was coming from such an old fucking man standpoint. It was like, what is this thing? Oh, is this where people go to do this? Let's go check that out. So it was me trying to assimilate right into what I thought was
what the cool
contemporary.
kids are doing, yeah.
And you're like, what are you doing with this relic?
say it like this, but I'm like,
But that's basically it. I was like, I'm being young, and you're like, that is so old.
Oh God, no, I think I did say that it's like it's a very God, I'm not gonna be able to dig myself out of this hole.
It's okay. It's fine.
I just dug for myself, but
No, I mean, I think Gen Xers in general, there seems to be a pattern where I think we get along with the Zs more than we do the millennials, so we're all good.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like my life is just filled with millennials. Wherever I look, there's a millennial next to
You can spot
me.
them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Fuck, for sure. They're
Go.
always like 38 and scared of commitment. I'm so scared of commitment. I'm like, I don't know if I want to, do anything serious right now. I'm like, dude, you're 39. Like, what are we doing? This is going. What are we talking about? Airports?
Apparently, fear
Travel
of
experience?
commitment.
Yeah, fear of commitment. It's the fair episode. God, this is gonna be so much fun to edit. I love that we've reached a point as I'm talking, I'm like, God, this is gonna be such a fucked up edit to do right now.
Or
I'm like
not.
already thinking about or
Or
not.
not.
But yeah, it's so the reason why I mentioned the millennial thing is because
Millennials.
we are in a different points in our lives where I feel like I still travel, very much like I'm in my 20s, because I
Because
have
you are
to,
their 20s.
because I am. I told you that this next trip I want to do a chill, I want to go to an airport and do it nice and go to like just make it fun for myself. And as I'm looking through it and I'm looking through the finances, I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have to fly for like 20 hours, aren't I, to make this happen? And then it's a sacrifice. I'm like, do I want to do it like this? And yeah, it's gonna be a nice 5 planes to Texas.
Wow.
Nah, I'm just exaggerating. But the way back is like three planes or something like that, 4 planes.
I know that experience. And then you look at the airline, you're like, is this a real airline?
You never know. It's a risk you take. You're like, you have to be a believer. I had that a bunch of times where I'm like, is this a real airline? And I had to like Google. I'm like, oh yeah, they're based in Portugal and they have like 6 planes. Okay, good. I'm booking it.
That's a good time.
Oh man, but I am a such a shitty traveler. Like not in the way that I organize things well, and I'm like great in that way. I'm like I'm familiar with how to book things and where to go and what to do and all that.
Yeah.
But I get scared, I get nauseous, I get car sick, right? Like I don't sleep in new places. Like I'm the worst, like frequent. How do you say it? Like a frequent flyer.
Yeah.
The worst frequent flyer, yes. Oh
I think
man.
maybe that's where my fatigue came from, is just like, because I do remember the excitement of that. And so yeah, so you're at the stage where you're like traveling in your 20s, and I'm at the life stage where I'm traveling in my 20s vicariously through you whenever we talk. But
Can we switch? Oh my God.
I, if there was like a magic Zoltan machine or whatever that is in the movie, like I definitely with age, and then maybe realizing, resources. I kind of, I'm comparing it to like concert experiences, where for the longest time, all I wanted to do was be in general admission, because then I could like fight my way to the front, right? And then after a while, one day I wake up and I'm at a certain age, and I'm thinking, like, I just want to sit down. Can I just sit down? When
Yeah.
you realize that you only have so many years left to go, I think
Oh,
comfort becomes a little bit more important.
Oh, man. No, it's fine. You're like in the fourth dimension of existence. So, in the fourth dimension of existence,
Fucking
age, you're
A.
like 18. Do you have that thing where people tell you you're like Oh, your age is like your sober age. Do you get that? I keep
No, I
hearing
hear that a
that.
lot. I hear that a lot.
I'm like, oh, you're actually like whatever. You're actually 8 years old emotionally. I'm like, well, I'm like, I don't know. I'm sexually active. That would be a little fucked up.
I've never thought of it that way, but okay. Yeah, that would be a little fucked up.
I actually have never thought about it that way as well, but I thought it would come out funny and I said it, and now as I'm talking about it, I'm realizing how actually fucked up it is. And I work with kids, so
We may or may not have invited like a new type of audience into this
oh,
podcast.
fuck me, dude.
No, I have heard
Okay.
that though. And but have you also heard like, so for example, if it's you're emotionally developmentally stunted at like whatever age, so 13, because that's when I started
Or like
drinking.
the age you started drinking. I hear that
So
too.
what does that mean? It's like 5 years sober, then I will be 18 years old. Like you're gonna
Wait,
grow that way.
how many is that in dog years?
Oh, I mean, I'd be dead already. Is that how we count? Is it supposed to be in dog years?
Don't know. I'm so confused about the math of this weird ass theory.
I mean, I don't feel as like battle weary as some people that I know, like in my age group. But then there are others, or many others who are as old as I am and are not even in recovery.
Stop saying as old as I am,
No, because like,
please.
but you know what I mean? Like, this is not how I pictured this life stage to look like. And I'm cool with it because it feels very fourth dimensiony.
I love that, and bringing it back, kind of, it's so I've had experiences while traveling that were very in life in general, right? In sobriety, in life, while traveling, that were very, very, very scary. I think just subjectively, right? Like you go through certain things in life, you get older, you see people die, you see violence, you get lost somewhere and you're alone. You don't know the language. Even that experience can be a little scary, right? But what I keep going back to is that, and I mentioned this to you today, speaking of fourth dimension of existence, I don't have to be blocked off from God, regardless of whatever fearful thing I'm going through. I do find that for me, and I don't know if you can relate to that, whatever fearful thing I'm going through seems to be the same thing, but in a different kind of costume or outfit. So if that's the case for me, and the Jewish concept of tikkun or whatever, which we can get into, and like the idea of like very briefly, yes, sorry, of like fixing something, that we're here to fix something, whether that's in our own little bubble, our own little ideas, something that is reincarnated, that's like our ancestors, or the world, fixing the world, right? So if that's my perception of a higher power in, my religion, then whatever it is, whatever experience I get, is an experience to grow, is an experience to be unblocked from God. And by being unblocked from God in, experiences that are fearful, I get to bring a little bit of my higher power into this world, which is the lowest of worlds, Kabbalah, Judaism, whatever. That's not getting into my own. It's fine. I'm Mormon. Whatever. Whatever you want to. But
The
that's,
levels, yeah.
yeah. But that's what I found. That's happening for me. So, regardless of what I'm going through, I don't have to go through it alone. And that feels much more realistic to me than being like, oh, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to sponsor people and I'm going to get a great life in return, because that doesn't work. And it's not what life is. Life is difficult, but I have this thing. Maybe it's just the character that I project on. It doesn't fucking matter, but to me, it's real and I can go through this thing and I can be a terrified, whatever 20-year-old that I was. With a backpack, with a high fever, delirious, getting on a 20-hour flight and being like, okay, I'm gonna be okay because I know that I'm doing my part and there's nothing more that I could do but my part and it's not up to
The way that
me.
fear ruled me and how I reacted to life compared to now, it's so different. And you mentioned something like about having a great life and not that being that not being realistic. I'm starting to feel like it's the experience of going through life with this confidence and being able to rest in the knowledge that I will be safe and protected when I have my higher power with me. That's actually what makes it a great life, right? Regardless of
Yeah, regardless of the.
discomfort and fear. Yeah, because
Yeah.
I can move through it and experience it. And it's difficult for me to communicate this, and I've been trying to, and it has been difficult for me to communicate it in like meeting settings, right? Because I think especially when I get very excited about what life is like today. It's very easy for people to look at it and be like, well, of course you are, because this is going on and that's going on. And like, there's still a lot of shit, right, that I wish I could
Yeah.
change circumstantially. But none of that rules me in the way that it used to. And so I am experiencing a great life today because of the shift in perspective. You know, what's that fucking promise like? My whole attitude and outlook upon life has changed. And that's what
Yeah.
makes it so great.
I think it comes down, yeah, to exactly that, the attitude, because again, not to like I have a great life, right? Subjectively, right? I'm in a great place. And yet when I say sunshine and rainbows and when I say to people, hey, I'm not selling you on this, you know, thing because it's, you know, it's I think it's easy to like think that, oh, this person is whatever. Which I've had that experience with people. I'm like, oh, you know, they're recovered, they have this wonderful life, and it's like, yeah, but it really is about, as you said, like the attitudes and about how we look at outer circumstances, and how we let it affect us. Because I found that as I was going through this travel thing, as the scenery kept changing, you know, there had to be like a constant. And I feel like traveling is a little bit maybe like a metaphor for life, or like life in sobriety and life in this, you know, fellowship that we, you know, that we crave, you know, that just kind of happens. And I'm so, you know, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. And you know, when we were talking about fear earlier, I wanted so much to be helpful.
Oh man.
But
You're the best.
also, hearing you talk about it now, I mean, that's really getting to that state is really where all of that paralyzing fear just kind of melts away, right? It's taken from us. And there's no, like, the attitude, yeah, that's a good word for it. Like, it really just kind of comes down to that. We are capable of doing so much more than we think. We are capable of getting through so much more than we think we are. And the faith and the attitudes, many times, those are the things that either stand in my way, the lack of it, or, you know, it's everything that I need, to get to the next moment.
Oh man, I feel like this might start the Oy Vey AA, cry counter, which is how much I cry because I'm a big crier. Did I tell you the story that when I was in rehab, the director of the rehab came up to me and he told me, in the 10 years this place has been open, no one has cried as much as you have. And I take it, I wear this as a badge of honor because I'm a major. I love crying. It's a sport. In
It's
my
a sport.
household,
I
dude,
mean, I will
major crier.
match, I will end up matching you, so maybe that won't be a good segue. I'm a
Oh
reactive
man,
crier.
oh, you're a reactive crier. Love it, love it. But no, it's As you're talking about this thing and fear again, I find that fear a lot of the times, yeah, fear is things that have already happened to me. I think that's a just a fact about fear. I don't know, I keep thinking about the fear prayer. I love it so much, you know. That we let God demonstrate through us what He would have us be. And I have been saying it again and again and again throughout my day recently, because I've been dealing with some shit, some real life shit. And I keep going back to the real life shit because being able to be real and authentic about my experience and not feeling like I have to portray a persona of this big book thumper. Recovered woman, in a way, yes. And I say it to myself, you know, I have this thing in me where I go back to like I have recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. You know, I've looked at the ledge, I've done the thing. You know, and yet there are experiences in life where I find that maybe what my higher power wants for me is to be afraid right now. And what I mean by that is not take it into my personal relationships and hurt people and arouse jealousy and resentment and all that. But it's because I'm going through something and I need to process it. And my immediate thing is, oh, I'm going to do a 10 step. It's going to be removed. But there's experiences that are scary. You know, I'm going through a lot of medical things, you know, which I kind of touched on. That's not a nice experience. I need to allow myself to express that in a healthy way. When my world, you know, I felt like the carpet was ripped underneath me a few months ago. I felt like everything I knew about God and this program and these steps that I've spent so much time studying and talking to other people about, I felt like I didn't know what to believe or trust anymore because I projected this idea about how I should feel. I projected this idea about what I should be afraid of or not. And then I lost so much in a span of like a week. So much of my confidence. And only then, again, which I believe I touched on, did I realize, oh, like I'm alive today and I have something to lean on as long as I seek it. And I have freedom of choice to seek that something. But other than that, I don't know anything anymore. And that feels much more human and much more real to me than thinking anything is guaranteed or promised, because I know it isn't. And I know nothing is guaranteed for me personally because I'm sober.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that we get access to more cash and prizes.
No, we hurt like anyone else, and we die like anyone else, you know? Maybe we beg for whiskey at the end.
I have different
We
feelings
do.
about that now. Yeah.
Yeah, man, fuck. No, let him have his fucking whiskey, bro.
Let him have his whiskey. Yeah. And
Oh, man.
that brings up actually, that ties into it a little bit in the sense that, like, what are you, not even in the final moments, but even from day to day, what is it that's important to you? Is it things like that, like legacy, status, how you can identify what your standing is and how people will perceive you? Because those are all extensions of self, right? There's this whole thing about, I remember people have said something to the equivalent of God just wants us to draw closer to it.
Yeah.
Rather moving towards God or away from God, God just wants us to. It sounds very passive in that way. And sometimes I have trouble with the idea that, okay, so it's like, so he's allowing all of this suffering so that we will draw closer to it. That seems very not benevolent to me. And I take comfort today
Yeah.
in the idea that, like, anything that's going on outside of this right now, because no one's trying to hurt me or kill me in this space that you and I are in right now, right? But anything outside of this bubble, that's happening that may be uncomfortable, that may be violent, that might be frightening, that might be sad. That could be just acts of nature, or that could be people exercising their free will to the point where they're just fucking each other up. And
Yeah. I mean, if I have free will, I totally forgot that other people have free will. I'm sorry.
yeah, it's
Had to mention
true.
it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And so it's not, that's not God doing it to me, right? That's just, he gave everybody the gift of free will and he's doing it. But then where God shows up for me is, despite all that suffering that's going on outside, he's the hand that can guide me back to a place of serenity, peace, and love, if I just hold on and keep the faith. He's
Oh man.
constantly course correcting all the little fucking acts of pain that everything else is choosing, to put in the world.
You know, it's I was mentioning this to our friend who I believe his fake name is Joe Barton.
We love Joe.
yeah, we love Joe. And we talked about this because I share a lot of my 10 steps with him. And we talked about the fact that it's like basically who said that like feeling good and being serene is more spiritual than me hanging on to a higher power and crying and like, you know, keeping that faith. And I found that for me, I was almost fighting. Or not almost, I was fighting for a long time to keep some sort of higher power in my life because I felt like for a second I lost it again. And that was probably the most fearful
Yeah.
experience I had in sobriety. After my friends were murdered, after everything, I didn't know I didn't know where I stood with this God. And I had to shed all the projections I put on this God. Because again, if God gave free will, he gave free will to everyone. And I am not promised anything, and my friends who are sober are also not promised anything. And that is hard for me because I'm a little scared child, you know. I am, how many years am I in sober age? I don't know. Quite young
49,
myself.
I don't know.
I'm 77 in my sober age. But that's what, you know, that's what it's about. And at the end of the day, I am so fucking grateful because I have something that is most of the time, if not all the time, I feel like is unshakable. And yet in the small things, when I'm in pain, physical pain, when I'm in, you know, the small details, that's when I have to bring it and put it right there. Not in the big things. The big things, whatever, inshallah, you know, like totally from God. But the small thing, that's when I really need it because, you know, it's in the details and it's in the details of my day-to-day life where I show up, not in the big spiritual soul things, four dimension things that I like to talk about because it makes me feel a certain way.
There we go.
I
That
did
makes
a
sense.
little dance again. Sorry.
We'll save those for the video episodes.
Yeah.
That makes sense because the big things, right? The stuff that I read about in the newspapers. I mean, it's out of it's easier to see it as being out of our control, right? Or at least it's easier for me to see that it's out of my control and then just kind of dismiss it, form an opinion maybe that I fucking throw away later, but it doesn't hit close to home. But the small moments that you are talking about, see, the closer that it is to me and the moment that I'm living in right now, affecting the moment that I'm in right now, the more I'm in fear and I have this idea that it is within my control. And so the control is more difficult for me to let go of when this thing is like that's uncomfortable is right in front of me, as opposed to when it's like farther away. And so that totally tracks, right? Because it's making me feel uncomfortable, like right in this moment, it's in my face. So then I get all sorts of like fight or flighty about it.
Oh man, that's so accurate. I'm like, again, the big things, okay. Like the small things, like I just, stubbed my toe. I'm like, oh fuck. Fuck this guy. These are the moments. No, but it's great. I could do that. I can have that. I know now for a fact, and I had to experience losing everything that I thought and had while being sober and while being recovered to see that my God is never gonna abandon me as long as I don't abandon myself and my God, right? So, but that's also, I think, in correlation to my faith. And again, my fake name is Oy Vey AA, so fuck you, let me talk about this. I'm allowed to. Of you're allowed to be angry at God. You're allowed to question God. You're allowed to ask those things. When you look at all those heroes about, when you look at Job, when you look at Moses, when you look at Abraham, there were flawed characters and metaphors for questioning and having fear. When God chose Moses, Moses asked a bunch of times, like, why me? I'm not the man for the job. He had doubts all through the end. And he didn't live to see the promised land.
Because of his
But I
doubts.
think because of his doubts and the green card. But I think you're allowed to have that, right? You're allowed to have the fear, even being recovered, even being sober, even being a big book thumper, even being a meeting maker, it doesn't fucking matter, right? You're allowed to have that fear. It's better if, you're able to, let God demonstrate through and release that and be of maximum usefulness and see if that fear is preventing you of being of maximum usefulness. But sometimes, if people die, if you go through this thing, please, by all means, feel the fear, 'cause I can't I, me using 10 steps, to feel like I'm doing 10 steps to not feel the fear. I'm like, this is not what it's about. Am I making sense here, or am I completely off track?
No. It's making sense. You mean like with the
Good.
approaching it with the expectation that like, oh, because I'm doing a 10 step, I'm getting it out of
Yeah.
self and everything's going to get better. Yeah, not
That is
necessarily.
exactly my point, because when I think I'm doing these steps so I could feel better, where I'm being sober so I could feel better, I am not doing this life so I could feel better. I'm doing this that at the end of the night, when it's just me and my God, and I'm in fear, I'm in the middle of fucking Mexico and I don't know anyone, I'll know that at least I was sober. At least I was clean. At least I wasn't an asshole. Some of the time.
Some of the time.
Yeah.
So the question about Moses, because you mentioned
Yeah.
that he wasn't allowed to enter the Holy Land because of his lack of a green card, but then more importantly, because of well, the way we were taught was that he wasn't allowed because of his doubt. So I remember something like one of the acts that he was supposed to do was like, tap on a mountain or knock on the mountain with his staff, right? And then like water comes out or something like that. And he gave it an extra tap because he was doubtful. And so as punishment basically for not having the unshakable faith, he wasn't allowed entry into the Holy Land by God. Is that a different understanding for you?
I think there's a lot of interpretations, right? There's different Christian interpretations, there's different interpretations within Judaism about those certain things. I love that this is a I love that this is a little religious podcast we have going on this episode. but no, I love talking about it. Whoever knows me knows I have like a bunch of like Psalms theories. Hit me up for the little Psalms essays that I do because I'm a nerd. But okay, I'll answer your question now. I'm ready. I
I will
think,
subscribe, yeah.
I mean, the way I look at it is that we are here to play a certain part, right? We're here to serve God in a certain way, and we don't know what that part is. I'm just here to be, an actor, and he's supposed to be the director. So maybe Moses was never supposed to go away. Because again, we do. There's a saying in Hebrew, and it says, "Hakol ketuv v'harashut netuna," basically, which means everything is written already, right? But we have freedom to choose. So that's a contradictory concept in Judaism, and it's a big core part of it. But I think that in Moses's case, he did so many things, with the Israelites to inspire them. Maybe his job was to help to let my people go. He did that, and he was never supposed to do more than that. That was his thing. I don't think it was necessarily a punishment. Maybe we need to look at our attitudes about Moses, right? But I think he did a lot of good, and I don't think the end takes away. It's like the Bill Wilson whiskey story.
It is like the Bill. No, and because when you mentioned it, and then I got to think about Moses again. Honestly, it gave me some fear and anxiety. Because it goes back to the idea of like God is doing this to me, right? So like God is an active participant, not just in my blessings, but also the difficulties that I have. And so like that's the punishing God. And so when we were talking about it within the context of recovery, the way that it caused me anxiety was like, okay, so if I had this experience, where I consider myself as a person who recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. If I have a crisis of faith or if I doubt it, does it mean that I'm not going to be able to access like the ultimate recovery state?
Yeah.
And like I don't want to believe that,
Another saying that I love. And now I can't seem to remember where it's from, but it's definitely Jewish. It's from some scripture, and it
Jewish.
says it says Elohim karov l'nishbarei halev, which means God is close to the brokenhearted.
Oh, I love that.
I'll pull up the source at some point, but I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it, but when I am, on my knees, tears running down my face, and I fight for a power, to have that power in my life, when I fight for that, savior, that is my, that's, there's all this talk in Judaism about finding your own inner Moses, finding your own inner savior. Because maybe that's, again, going back to it, that's the part that Moses played. He was the savior. He was the guide, even though we took them in circles so they could learn a lesson or whatever. It doesn't take 40 years to get from Egypt into the southern border of
doesn't.
Israel, just so you'll know, if you've ever been there.
I'm not very far removed from like the most recent major crisis of faith that I had. So I can relate to things that you feelings that you're expressing, right? The 5 years or so prior to today. I mean, I was kind of like, you could say that I was complacent in the way I was practicing my sobriety. And then everything got rocked with not only a major geographic again, but then also successive losses. My world, or at least my perception of it and the relationships of the people within it, changed in an uncomfortable way almost overnight, with these losses. And I experienced the same crisis of faith, I mean, I was still kind of going through the motions, but I remember somebody in the recovery community here, when we were talking about it, it's like, okay, so, well, they were big into, the ritual, like the morning prayers and stuff. It's like, okay, so are you still doing this, this, and this? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, well, when did you stop making it a dialogue with your higher power and you made it more about you just screaming into the void? And I had to look at that, because I wasn't actually inviting God in anymore. I was just doing these things because I thought it was going to make me feel better, as if like saying the right amount of prayer or taking the right amount of action was supposed to like eventually get me there. Fake it till I make it until I get there. And but I was also in a place where that didn't work anymore, because I'm no longer Johnny Newcomer, right? Like I'm in real life, right? It's not, it's different when it's different, right? And you're still kind of relying on these things that you were told to do when you were still like in a state where you were climbing the walls. I wasn't there. It felt emptier. I felt more alone. And I didn't understand any of it. And that didn't change overnight, but the path to getting to the space where I am now, which is a strength of faith that I didn't have before. Like, it's just so precious. And it does give me so much comfort, in those darker moments.
It's crazy. First of all, we're gonna love you till you love yourself, you know? So,
It's a comforting thought, yeah.
honestly, I know. Oh man, but honestly, it's funny because my faith in a higher power started as, you know, are you willing to believe or will you be willing to believe? You know, it was like such a small, precious, private thing.
Yes.
And now, through just I guess practice and time and experiences, right? And now it's yeah, and now it's this thing that's so precious and a thing that a part of me was scared of losing, and now I know that I don't have to. Again, but this is all very theoretical, and I shared about it when everything kind of went down. I'm like, I'm okay now. You know, if my family, if my entire family were to be murdered tomorrow, I don't know. Who am I to know? I know that today I have freedom of choice. As long as I have that, you know, I am not enslaved to, I think I said it already, King Alcohol. Or whatever. I'm not enslaved to anything.
Yeah, you're not one of the
I have
shivering
freedom of
denizens.
choice.
Yeah. Freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice. I mean, that's what it stems down to for me, today. And also, it doesn't matter. Like, I found that when I bring choices to prayer and meditation, what I usually get is like, oh, it actually doesn't matter if you go to like England or like Rome right now, because there's no right or wrong anymore,
Right,
right? There's pros and cons, but there's no
yes,
right or wrong to
yes.
the choices I make. I think in that, I think when it comes to, you know, things, bigger things, personal relationships, I'm not in a place where it matters so much anymore, you know. I mean,
Yeah.
if I were to spend all my money on Oreo cookies, maybe it would, but I'm gonna spend a lot of my money going like eat hamburgers in Texas, so.
Well, then,
But that's a choice.
so it's probably the wiser choice is not to spend money on the Oreo cookies so that you can spend more money on the burgers.
There we go. It's all about burger sobriety up in here.
Don't underestimate the power of a good burger.
Da 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 da. I'm loving it. That wasn't the jingle, was it?
I mean, it sounds like it. Yeah, I knew what you were singing. You had a couple
Bub.
bars in. Yeah.
Bub.
The meds have kicked in. I love it.
Hell yeah.